Welcome to another podcast by Every Nation Brisbane. We're so glad you can join us here today. Please enjoy the following message.
He's also made us where we need to kind of quiet our soul or quiet our emotions and really focus in on Him and why He made us. And the Bible gives us a word for that. It's called worship. Now, worship just means that you thank someone or you give them worth because of the value they are in your life. And it's amazing. Everyone worships something. Most people in our culture, they worship materialism or sports or something like that. They give it value and they show it their worth by having adulation towards it. But we as Christians, we as believers in God, we should give our worth and we should ascribe value to God. Amen? Because He is the creator of all things. He made us. He put us here. And it's an amazing thing. The Bible says this. It says, praise and worship is becoming to the person who praises God. You know what that means? It looks good on you. How many have ever bought a brand new dress or a beautiful outfit and someone says, that's very becoming on you? Let me tell you, when you worship, when I worship, it really looks good on us. It really makes us look attractive. How many want to look attractive? Okay, I do. The rest of you are lying. I know you do. I want to look attractive. Well, let me tell you, the best way you can do it is put something on that's going to cause you to be becoming. And the Lord says as you worship Him and you praise Him, it's becoming to those who worship Him. So we're going to pray right now. We're going to worship God and believe God for just a great service today. Father, we thank You so much that, Lord, we get the privilege and honor to worship You, to ascribe worth to who You are and worth to our relationship. So, Father, we thank You for this moment, and we forget about what happened this week. We forget about what's going to happen next week, and we focus in, and we concentrate, and we give You praise today. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Thank you, Roisin. Thank you very much. We also have someone who just came in from Auckland, and that's Maria. Give us a wave, Maria. The lovely and talented Maria. What a great woman of God she is. And you came in for the birthday party and the baptism, didn't you? And the free dinner after? Oh, okay, that's the main thing you came for. We're glad to have you here. Again, welcome everybody. My name is Pastor Ken Du, and I am really delighted to be able to introduce our guest speaker. I've known the Schmidt family probably for about 8 years. I met them when they were in Christ Church, a part of our church there, and then, of course, they moved over here to the Gold Coast, and we reconnected when we moved over here. And I think about a month ago, they invited us to have lunch with them in Mooloolaba. I'm glad I said that right. Mooloolaba. It's not Mooloolaba, which I thought it was, but it's Mooloolaba. And when we were talking over lunch, Candace started speaking about some things that were on her heart, and I was so impressed with not just what she was saying, her content, but just the passion, what she felt like the church should be doing in our society and our culture. And I said, Candace, I would like for you to come and speak for us one day and just preach and encourage and teach us what you're telling us over this dinner table. And she agreed to do that, and we're really, really fortunate to have her. Candace has a degree in psychology, and she counsels, and she's deeply involved with counseling and ministries that help people really get set free and unlock and untie issues in their life that keep them in bondage. Powerful woman of God. She's married to Dr. Peter Schmidt, and he's a great speaker in his own right. But today we have the privilege and the honor of having Candace Schmidt to bring the word to us. So I want you to put your hands together and welcome Candace here to the podium. God bless you, Candace. Thank you.
Well, good morning, everybody. Bit humid this morning, bit sticky. thank you, Pastor Ken, for having me to come and speak. It really is a privilege. And I'm excited and a little bit nervous, but I'm just love to see people become more free and step into the destinies that God has for them. And so I just welcome this opportunity, and I just want to honor Pastor Ken and Renee. We've known them for about 11 years, but really just their time with our family has so blessed us. Their heart for God, their heart for people, and just even the fact that they're so hospitable and they love our kids and welcome us. And so thank you very much. This is my husband, Peter, and he's And he is the hero. He did my PowerPoint, well, my Prezi presentation. So, and these are my children. I've got one in Kids Church. I've got Jonty, Caitlin, and Caden. And yes, I love them very much. All right, just excuse me while I get my things together. Before I start, I actually just wanted to tell you about a magazine that I have been invited to contribute. I've written a few articles for. It's called Indulge Magazine. It's a Christian women's magazine, and it's just filled with great articles about, it's got testimonies of people and their journeys of faith. It's got articles relating to marriage and counseling and just your journey to wholeness. And this particular article is called Connect Well, so it's really giving you some great input into relationships. And there's even a body section, which is, you know, recipes and fashion and different things. So the first person to put up their hand gets a free one. Yay, that lady at the back. Well done. Muriel, do you mind passing it back to that lovely lady in the back? Thank you. I do have, you can, it's actually free online. You can view it online, indulgemagazine.com.au, but I have a couple of copies. They just went to print recently, and each copy's $11, and it's comes out quarterly. If you're interested, you can come and have a look later. All right. So the message that I'm going to preach this morning is called Piercing the Darkness. And I got to get my papers in order, excuse me. Oh, I'll let you see. Sorry, this is my first time doing a talk, preaching and PowerPoint, so we're just working it out. Oh, there we go. Okay, thank you, darling. Jesus in John 8 verses 12 says, "Then Jesus spoke to them, saying, 'I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life.'" We are called to shine God's light in the very dark world. And it doesn't take much to open your eyes, read the newspaper, look at social media, read the news, and you see there's a lot of darkness in this world. There is, you know, murder, hate, injustice, abuse, rape, corrupt politicians, immorality, abuse, slavery. The list just goes on and on and on. And there's real atrocities that happen in the world. But more than that, it's the little things that probably get to us the most. The day-to-day challenges like power struggles, lack of loyalty, betrayal of friends, rejection, gossip, backstabbing, broken relationships, and broken hearts. And it can be very easy to get very, very discouraged by what we see going on around us. Romans 1 speaks of a world who rejected God and have chosen their own way and done what is right in their own eyes. Matthew 5 verses 15 says, "You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden." Now, who gets excited when you read that? Where are the light? Anyone feel pressure? I'm the light, oh no. You know, one candle in darkness disperses darkness, but then that light gets noticed. And there's some days that I wake up and I'm so ready to face the world. I want to make the world a better place. I'm pumped. I'm excited about God. I'm excited to the freedom that God's given me, and I'm excited to connect with people and share that life with them. And then there's other days when life is tough. You know, there's challenges. Things get overwhelming, relationships can be difficult, just life can get to you, and then I just want to climb under the covers and shrink back into the shadows. Anyone else have those days? And so what we see is there's a battle. There's a battle when we start our day. There's a battle in our weeks, and I often have those moments when I'm lying in bed and the enemy is relentlessly telling me how inadequate I am. He reminds me of my mistakes, messes that I've made in my past. He magnifies my fears and insecurities. And sometimes that fear can really be paralyzing. And yet, there is a gentle whisper of God that speaks to my identity. He calls me daughter. He tells me, "No, you're a warrior. You're beautiful. You're my friend." He tells me his passionate heart for me. He reminds me of how powerful he is. So even when I'm weak, he reminds me of who he is, who he's called me to be, that he believes in me. And then he invites me to trust him, to rest in his eternal plan and to receive his love and his power. So I can choose to believe the lies that's screaming, or I can choose to believe that whisper of God that's calling me into who I really am. And we see that battle. There is a battle, and I'm going to lay a bit of a foundation of understanding the spiritual realm that connects to the physical realm to give us a better understanding of how we really can impact the darkness and bring forth light. So, when did this epic battle begin? Genesis chapter 1, verses 27 to 28 says, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, 'Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth.'" So we read how Adam and Eve had a pretty sweet life walking in the garden. Imagine the paradise that it must have been, enjoying the beauty of God's creation, naming the animals. All their needs were met. They were all taken care of. God gave Adam authority over creation. He delegated authority to Adam and Eve. All they were given came with only one command. So all that they had was amazing, but there was just one command. Do not eat of the tree of good and evil. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil, sorry. So God gave them a free will. Out of all that they had, there was just one bad choice, and they had the freedom to choose to obey God and to enjoy all that he had, or to eat of that one tree in this massive, amazing garden. And then we see Satan slithered along as a serpent, and he tricked Adam and Eve. He said, "Has God really said that you shouldn't eat of that tree?" And then he says, "He knows if you eat it, you will become like God." Satan questioned the accuracy of God's word, and he deceived them into thinking that God was holding out on them. We see the same attacks today. Is God really a good God? Did he really say that? Does he really care about you? And is his word really trustworthy? And then he brings experiences to question that, to deceive us. In that one decision to eat the apple, Adam and Eve's eyes were opened, and they knew good and evil. And they lost the right to be in the garden, and that is where we see sin, suffering, death, and curses entered the world. The worst part is authority was lost. Satan began to rule over the earth, and the battle between good and evil began. And the outcome of that battle continues, but it determines all of our eternal destinies. The fall was so great that only God's son Jesus could pay the price to get the authority back and reestablish God's kingdom. So we can see, Pete's going to bring up a model. So on the left we have what we call the kingdom of the world. That is where Satan is ruler. And it says that he is like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Says that Satan wants to steal, kill, and destroy. He is opposed to God's creation. He's opposed to us. And he wants to deceive us so that we follow him and his ways rather than God's ways. And then contrast that with the kingdom of God. This is where we see, we've got the kingdom of darkness, and then we've got the kingdom of light. And we see that's where Father God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit rule. And the Bible says that the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy. The fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, goodness, kindness, gentleness, self-control, all those good fruits, that's what heaven is like. That is who God is. And so I'm going to just talk through. So there's darkness, there's light, there's evil, there's good. There's lies versus God's truth. In the kingdom of darkness, we're enslaved to sin. We're enslaved to the forces of darkness. But in the kingdom of light and kingdom of God, God reveals truth, and his truth sets us free. And he says that we're sons and daughters. We become children of the Most High God. Not slaves, children. And we receive an inheritance. We see in the kingdom of darkness, it's the curses are in operation. And in the kingdom of God, there are blessings that God wants to release. The kingdom of the world, that that's where we're serving our ourselves, and that's where sin, you know, we operate out of that. When we come into the kingdom of God, that's when we're serving God and Jesus becomes Lord. We can't get from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light without Jesus. And so he is the bridge. There's an eternal gulf that separates us. The Bible says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There's no way we can get to heaven. Doesn't matter how much we try. Doesn't matter how much we meditate. We need, only Jesus was a sacrifice that could cover and wipe out our sin completely. He is the only way, the truth and the light to get to the kingdom of to the kingdom of God. And so we see it's through faith in Jesus Christ, but it's also through repentance. And repentance is we turn from following our own ways, we turn from our sin and our selfishness and following the world's ways, and we turn 180 degree turn towards God and towards and we make him our new master. So we're no longer master of our own destiny. We make Jesus Lord and Savior. And he doesn't just save us, he delivers, he becomes our Lord. The Bible says we're translated in Colossians 1 verses 13, we're translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his Son. And we have an eternal future. We now get to spend eternity with Jesus, which is amazing. So the only challenge is that when we become born again and we receive Jesus Christ as Lord and we step into the kingdom of God, often we come with baggage. You see, our minds are still the same. And that's why the Bible says in Romans 12 verses 2, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. There is a redemption that takes place. God desires to redeem our minds because that's where the battlefield is. And our mind is a valuable tool in the kingdom of God. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, the old has passed, the new has come. We are a new creation. We are recreated in Christ Jesus. We have his spirit in us that comes alive. And so our spirit is now alive, and but we need to get free. So, and then it also talks about in the Bible restoration. God came not just that we could get to heaven. So often the salvation message is preached and it's just about getting your ticket. You know, I've got my ticket to heaven, now I've just got to survive the earth until I get to heaven. But God has so much more for us. We were created to live whole, healed, and free. He came to give us the full package, saved, healed, and delivered, to walk in complete freedom. But we need to undo the chains. The blood of Jesus breaks those chains free. And one of the ministries that I'm part of in praying with people, prayer counseling, is called Sozo Ministry. And Sozo means saved, healed, and delivered. And it's dealing with those chains that have got latches on them. If we just break those latches, then people walk free. And, you know, I was talking to a lady the other day. She's a young adults leader in a big church. And she was just saying how discouraged she was that of, you know, she works a lot of young people, but she also leads a lot of leaders and disciples a lot of leaders. And she said she only knew about three people who were Christians who weren't depressed, who weren't struggling. And how are we meant to be the light of the world when we're just struggling? You know, we're just struggling to be happy. We're struggling with depression. We're struggling in our relationships. And there is the fight, I'm not saying, but there is freedom. And that's what I want to bring today, is the hope that Jesus was the hope of the world. He did, you know, he came to make us whole and free. So we want to get rid of the weights and run the race that God has for us. That means letting go of the things that hold us back. And, you know, sometimes through our journeys in life, especially from our childhood, there are things that bring wounds to our spirit. There are whispers, maybe bullying, maybe we've suffered abuse. You know, all of us will share stories of bad things that have happened to us that have really wounded and affected us. And what happens in those wounds, though, is they can become an infection. And if that infection is not dealt with, that's a little infection in the arm, if it's not treated, then spreads. And if it's not treated, it spreads. And eventually, you can touch your arm up here and it'll be red and you'll be sore here. And then if it's still, it can actually affect the whole body, the whole system. And so God comes when we're saved, and sometimes he takes our hand and he says, come, let's clean out the infection. Let's heal those wounds. Let's get out the gunk. Let's get out the bitterness. Let's get out the lies that you've been believing about yourself. Let me tell you the truth about who you are. Let me tell you the truth about who I am. Because he wants to clean it out so that we, and the beauty of that healing is then there's a scar, but there's no more pain. But that can be a bit of a journey. But that's the journey that God wants to take us through so that we can step fully into our destiny. The beauty of God is that Jesus was the great exchange. God always trades up. The Bible says he gives us beauty for our ashes. He takes us from death to life. He takes our guilt and he gives us forgiveness. He offers us health for our sickness. Where we've had poverty, he offers provision. Rejection, he offers us acceptance. Where there's hopelessness, he gives us a purpose. Where we've had shame that has affected us, he gives us his glory and he gives us a new identity. Where we've got sadness, he wants to give us joy. And where we've believed or lies, he wants to reveal truth to us. Who thinks that's good news? Who wants to be part of the great exchange? Yeah. I want to just talk to you about the three realms that we operate in. So the first realm is the earthly realm. What we see, hear, feel, touch, smell. It's what's here and now. But who knows that there's a spiritual realm as well. And so the second realm is where authority was lost to, but Jesus came and got the authority back. But it's Ephesians 6, verses 12. It says, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. So in the atmosphere, there are spiritual forces that are whispering, have you ever been into a house? We were looking for a house for months, and there's some houses I would go into, and you just feel... Yeah, it's, and you know, you could see idols and, you know, some worship shrines set up, and you actually feel like, you know, and some even New Age stores, some areas, you're just like, oh, the atmosphere. But it can be certain areas of town that you walk in. You just go, oh, there's just something not right about this. But we also sense that with people, don't we? You meet someone and you just go, oh, it's just something and so we have our spirits discern things about people, and we can sense, yep, that person's a good person, or, you know, that person's carrying stuff. And another way of checking, we call it checking ourselves in the door, but, you know, some days I can wake up happy and ready to do life, and I can meet up with someone, and suddenly I'm feeling hopeless and like, oh, discouraged. And then I realize that's actually what they're carrying. And if you're not aware of the spiritual realm, you come under that. If people are fearful, it's easy to come under that anxiety, and you pick up, we feel it, and we start carrying what other people are carrying. And, you know, there's some of you in the room that you are in certain environments at work or at school or at university, and you're feeling stuff, and you think it's you, but it's not. It's actually the atmosphere that you're in. So we need to recognize, yeah, the spiritual realm in which we live. And then we've got the third realm, which is heaven. That's where God and Jesus and the angels, and he releases his angels to come and warfare on our behalf and minister and answer our prayers. And the Bible says that in Philippians 3, verses 20, that we are citizens of heaven. So we're not citizens of this earth anymore. Ephesians 2, 6 says, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. So where do we live? Which realm? Are we living on earth or are we seated in heaven? So even though we're walking in the earth, where spiritually are we meant to be seated? We're meant to be seated in the heavens. That's right, looking. We live heaven to earth, not earth to heaven. So we need to look and live and see life from God's perspective, not from the perspective of the world around us. Yeah? Okay. The realm that we agree with is the one that influences us. So we need to discern which voice is speaking to us. Is it God's voice? Is it the enemy's voice? Or is it our own voice? We connect to God through faith and agreement with what he says. But if we're not careful, we allow the atmosphere in the second heaven to influence us, and we live from our perspective of earth to heaven. This is where fear, doubt, and other emotions cloud our perspective and our agreement. Fear is the manifestation of faith in the wrong kingdom. When we believe something is going to go wrong, how many people know that? It doesn't matter what I do. Things just always go wrong. Just one thing. It's just catastrophe. They're actually partnering with that. They're inviting bad things to keep happening because that's what they believe to be true. So they actually empower the spiritual realm to allow that to happen. But if we believe, no, God is my savior. He's my deliverer. He's for me. He's not against me. Greater is he that's in me than he's in the world. He's caused me to be an overcomer. And we invite God to come and show up in that situation. And we spend time with God getting his perspective. Bad things don't happen anymore because we have authority. So when we step into that and we come into agreement with what God's word says, we can actually shift those the darkness that is trying to overwhelm us. When we believe in God, we empower the Holy Spirit and the angels to bring about his will. Matthew 6, verses 9 and 10 says, I'll let you read it with me. Your kingdom come, your will be done in earth as it is in heaven. We are sent into this world to transform it. The emphasis in the Lord's Prayer is that earth would become like heaven. So we're not just saved to escape. We're actually meant to transform the world around us, to bring God's kingdom to earth. We need more Nehemiahs, Josephs, Esthers, Daniels, Samuels, Gideons. Bible is full of them. We need people to rise up. Those people that I've just mentioned in the Bible, and there are many more in the Bible stories, they faced huge challenges, and yet they lived honoring God and doing his will. And they faced a lot of personal battles, but when they won those battles, God actually made them rulers over nations. They actually brought freedom for nations. Joseph's, you know, from the pit to the palace with Potiphar, and then he was in jail. He was in prison for all those years, but he still honored God. He still followed him. And then when he got to the king, he actually saved Israel from the famines that were to come. And it talks about in the time that he was there, that the prosperity that the Israelites had because of him. And so we're going to face battles, but as we win them, we're going to bring freedom to the other people in our world. So once we taste God's original, we won't desire the world's counterfeit. Everything that God created was good. He created fun. Everything about God is good. And the world perverts it. For me, I've been to a nightclub. I don't want to go. I don't like the atmosphere there. Because once you encounter God and you be in his presence, I'd much rather be in the presence of the Lord and feel the love and the peace and the joy. Amen. That I don't want to be there. So it's not about going, don't go there. I don't want to go there because I've tasted God's original. So that's just a counterfeit. So why would I want the counterfeit when I can encounter God? It's the same with, and the thing with God is that his ways always bring blessing. God has our best interest at heart. You see, God created sex. And his design was for sex and a loving, committed marriage, raising children with a mum and a dad. But people in the world do what's wise right in their own eyes. And if you look at the media, there's no boundaries. You know, you just watch TV and people are in bed with different people, often on the first date. And you just look at the consequences of a life without boundaries. There's people having kids outside of marriage. There's divorce. Men not taking responsibility for their kids, not committing to one person for life and being there for the kids. And we see the devastating consequences of that on children. Men and women having affairs. The amount of blended families and abortion, sexually transmitted diseases. There's real consequences for doing life not God's way. And God doesn't want that because those are the people who come for counseling and they need healing because their life's a mess and their heart's broken. And it's just, it's, you know, and God has freedom and he has restoration, but it's a journey. But if you do it God's way, then you don't have all the baggage that comes with that. And you encounter the blessings that come with doing it God's way. We're going to look at the Great Commission now. Matthew 28 verses 18 says, "Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority,'" everyone say, "all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you to the very end of the age." So, we are children of God, filled with him, sent on a mission to impact the world and bring heaven to earth. So why does it feel like the darkness is just growing? Darkness only prevails in the absence of light. The Bible says, go. One of the things I see in Christians is that they hide. They're hiding. We're not shining. We're not being a light. We're scared of being opposed. Or there's a philosophy that has come into the church that Jesus is coming, we're going to be raptured out and the darkness is getting greater. So that's a sign that Jesus must be coming and he's going to rescue us. So we just have to hide out in church and in our Christian schools and our Christian life. And then we just hope he comes really, really, really soon. And we see that like around the world, the theology has been that. And so Christians have not been getting involved in leading in different places, right, taking up office, taking up the call that God's placed. You know, we live as though Jesus is coming tomorrow, but we plan as though he's not coming in our lifetime. And we need to know, well, what world are we leaving for our children and our children's children? Because I promise you, when Hitler in World War II was breaking out, they thought Jesus was coming really soon. And it was horrible, and the world was at war, and there were terrible things happening, and yet Jesus had not come yet. And so we don't know when Jesus is coming, but we know that he's called us to bring heaven to earth. And that's what we have to walk with. And we have to rise up and we have to go and be the light in the darkness. The second part of that scripture is we need to go and make disciples. Another problem is that the church has allowed the world to influence its culture. Through a lack of knowledge of the Bible and a lack of encountering God and the supernatural, Christians are immersing themselves in a culture and worldview that is contrary to what the Bible says. What you're watching on TV, in the movies, what's being taught in the universities, in the secular media, is discipling our thinking and teaching a worldview and morality that actually opposes God's word. Can you argue for your faith? I know Pastor Ken talks about apologetics. That's really a study that is on the biblical worldview. Can you argue why you don't believe in evolution? Versus, because the Bible says it in Genesis, it was about his creation. There is actually a lot that you can actually debate with people bringing truth and fact that actually can counter that message. But evolution is taught as fact in most universities around the world, and yet it goes contrary to God's word. We've also had a bring mentality in the church, which is, so instead of go, remember we're supposed to go into all the world, but we've kind of, sometimes it's bring. And so if we have a bring mentality, then it means that we have to have a church that's very seeker sensitive. So we water down the gospel to make it, or compromise the truth so that people feel comfortable. So when they come, they don't feel challenged, they feel nice, they feel good. We give very lots of motivational messages, but it doesn't change them. It doesn't bring them freedom. It doesn't bring them life. We need to preach a balanced gospel. God is loving, but he's also holy. Too much about the grace and the blessings of God and not enough about lordship and obedience lands in the ditch of lawlessness. That's why there's so much sin in the church. It shouldn't be here, because we need to know that he is loving, and the whole Bible is about his love for us and him sending his son. But Jesus was the price that was paid to get rid of sin. We do not need to keep sinning. We need a righteousness consciousness. We died to sin. We are now alive with God, and we are righteous, and we're his sons. His DNA is in us. His spirit is alive in us, and he says in his word that he gives us all things for life and godliness. Everything that we need to do life well, God has given to us. It says Jesus was tempted with everything that we're tempted, but he did not sin. And so his spirit is alive in us, and he can give us the tools to live a righteous life. And if we stumble and fall, which does happen, 1 John 1:9 says, we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so we see it's not about our perfection, but it's about our direction. Are we following God? Yep, sometimes we stumble, sometimes we mess up. You know, what I said before, it can be a journey to wholeness, but God is there and we confess our sin, we deal with it, we receive his forgiveness, and then we receive his power to live life well. Too much about preaching on holiness and obedience in the church and not about the love, grace, and mercy of God, and we end up in the ditch of religion. So somehow we need to pray that God keeps us out of the two ditches and on the road where we preach a balanced gospel. The third part is connect to Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. The greatest vacuum in the world in the church is the knowledge of God's nature. Many people have been saved years and yet have no relationship with the Godhead. They know that he loves them, but they don't know that he loves them because of the wounds. And often when we've had abuse or difficult relationships with our earthly parents, it actually affects how we see God. And God wants us to really know him and his heart for us. God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever will believe in him shall not perish but have everlasting love. It started with love. From Genesis to Revelation, we see a scarlet thread weaved of God's plan for redemption and reconciliation to relationship and eternity with him. There is an invitation to discover the true nature of God, not a God in your own eyes, but a God that the real God, a God who loves you and wants to empower you to live life well. You know what? If we truly lived knowing God and knew his heart for us and for people, the church, we wouldn't need lots of events. The people would be flooding in. Yeah. Because people want to encounter God. Everyone has a God-sized hole in their heart. Right. They want to encounter the presence of God. They want to encounter real relationship. They want to encounter people who genuinely care about them. Genuinely, they want to encounter a supernatural, where a lifestyle where miracles happen. And if we can step into that, that's when we start changing the world around us. And the fourth part of that scripture is teaching them to obey all that I have commanded. What we've encountered is a lot of churches using secular music to entertain kids and youth, or that they have a business model based around events and kind of hype productions to get people into the church. But what we should be focusing is on laying good foundations in people's lives so that they can encounter the messages of the world. See, if they encounter God's ways and they encounter God's presence, as I said before, they won't want what the world offers. And they'll be able to follow and do God's will and encounter the blessings of God in doing his way. The Bible says, unless God builds the church, we labor in vain. We cannot win the world with the world. And there's a quote by Bill Johnson that says, we aren't relevant when we mirror the culture around us. We are relevant when we are what they want to become. Jesus modeled a life where light meets darkness and miracles happened. He showed the kingdom and said, greater works will you do. Greater works. Imagine doing greater works than Jesus. Paul built the kingdom, creating an army of believers through discipleship. The church is here to equip the saints to do the work of the ministry. We minister to Christians who then go out to impact the world. We host and then we can host events to connect with the unbeliever. So we have a go model. This is like boot camp, all right? Church is like an army camp. Wounded soldiers come in from battle. We care for them, nurture them, bandage their wounds, love on them. And new soldiers are being trained and equipped. We develop the skills that we need to know to engage the enemy. We need to be wise to the enemy strategies. Yeah. But God says that we will win. We can take ground and we can be the light that pushes back the darkness. And the thing about an army is they have each other's backs. You see, one soldier alone is vulnerable to being taken out. But a whole army, I have that picture of the Roman soldiers. Anyone read Asterix and Obelix? You know how they would all march? And they had a shield above, shield on the side, and they would advance. And imagine the kingdom of God where we were sticking to each other and we had each other's backs. And when one person was wounded or struggling, everyone else came and took care of them. And living for God looks different to how the world lives. So my question is, are you influencing the world or is the world influencing you? We have a purpose to go and impact the world, bringing love, righteous leadership, truth, mercy, and justice. Matthew 5 verses 16 says, "Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." So how do we let our light shine? Edmund Burke says, "The only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is for good men to do nothing." So there is practical things that we can do, and it could be a very exhaustive list. So I've got six key areas to speak to you today. The first one is honoring others. Let's ask God to show us how he sees the people in your world. Sometimes we get caught on their sin or the fact that they disagree with us or that we get clouded by what's wrong rather than asking God to show us what's right. Who did you create them to be? How do you see that? And focus on who they are and not what they aren't. Who would like people to treat them that way? Sometimes we feel like people just see all the negatives and all our faults and our weaknesses rather than focusing on who we are and our strengths and focusing on that. Jesus didn't get caught on the sin. He took care of the sin. He had compassion for the heart, and he knew when the heart was healed and they encountered his love, they would go and sin no more. And so we sometimes get too stuck on the sin, but we've got to, if we lead people and they encounter God and they encounter his love and his healing, they won't want to sin anymore. Because sin is just a way of our wounded heart trying to meet our needs in an illegitimate way. Right. And then we get caught in addictions and cycles and shame and all these patterns that just make us enslaved to it. But when God breaks through and we know that he loves us and that he cares about us and he and through ministry we get healed, that we're no longer enslaved, we can walk free. We see and treat others and ourselves not as we are but as God created us to be. We need to keep our love on with people. Sometimes we hang around people who agree with us, who are like us, but actually we can still honor people even if they disagree with us. They can have a different religion, a different color of skin, a different sexual orientation. We might not agree, and we will speak up for what we believe, but we still love people, irrespective, okay? The other thing is, so we only have as much influence in the lives of others as they have value for us. We need to value others and honor them. We also need to respect authority. The Bible talks a lot about honor, honoring our parents, honoring our leaders. And you know what? Sometimes our leaders we might not agree with, but the Bible says we need to pray for them. We need to respect the office that they carry, even if they are not leading righteously. We were meant to pray for them that righteousness would come. If you think of Daniel with King Nebuchadnezzar, Joseph, they were pagan leaders, yet they still served and they honored them, but they asked God, they were empowered by God, and they actually brought change to those kingdoms. People need courage, so speak words of hope and encouragement. Speak words that bring life. Blessing and cursing are in the power of our tongues. Words create our world. Our words birth seeds for our future. You know, if you tell people what you see in them and the good things, there is something that rises up in them. And that's also the power of the prophetic. Calls out the destiny. You know, God doesn't, you look at the Bible, he told Gideon who he was. Who Gideon thought he was and who God said that he was not the same. See, God pulled out the destiny. Yes. And that's why we have to ask God, we have to empower, because where God sees people and the destiny and the gifts on their lives, he sees it from a heavenly perspective, not from an earthly perspective. And so we have to partner with heaven. Say, God, how do you see this person? And we honor that in those people. And we might not be seeing it, with our husbands or people, but we can pray and we can partner with heaven and we can call that out and we can honor the gold and the treasure that lies within every person, because in every single person there is a part of the image of God. Mm-hmm. Secondly, we need to have faith. We will face trials and challenges. We're not, unfortunately, in the garden. We're in a battle. There is life. There are trials and challenges that come our way. But again, we need to look. We have a choice between looking at our reality or from a heavenly perspective. If it looks impossible, God is the God of the impossible. It's how we live in the storm that sets us apart from others. Trust in a God who makes the impossible possible. The miraculous is his specialty. The great Bible stories are about ordinary people who dared to believe in what God could accomplish through them. God's plan is for us to be overcomers. You think of Gideon. It was impossible in the natural. Jehoshaphat, when the entire armies were against the Israelites, and they prayed, they fasted, and they sent out the musicians ahead, praising God, and the enemies were defeated. God just does amazing things. He's a powerful God. And let's partner with him to bring freedom to our world. Our tests become our testimony that not only glorify God, but build our faith and our character. The victories that I win are actually for my children and my children's children. Number three, filter what influences you. Who is speaking into your life? Who are you hanging out with? What movies are you watching? What TV programs? What is the lyrics or the music that you're listening to? Are they speaking life into your soul or not? We usually choose friends who are similar to us, but we need people who have strengths where we struggle. If we're bad at finances, find someone who is good at saving and invest their money well. The enemy always attacks us where our destiny lies. I knew one, we've got a friend in New Zealand, and he is a very anointed teacher. And yet when he was young, he had a bad experience doing a public oral presentation at school. For the rest of his schooling and university, he managed to wheedle his way out of every time he had to give a presentation, an oral presentation, because of the fear and the negatives that from that childhood encounter. The enemy had attacked him because he knew if he could bring fear or crush that, he wouldn't carry the life and the anointing that he has. But he got free, and now when he speaks, it's amazing. People's lives are impacted. And so if you just look back on your life, and you can actually see, and I see this in counseling as well, the very areas where people have been wounded, very areas have been attacked, it's usually connected to the gifts and calls of God on their lives. And so, you know, trials and difficult things happen, but you've got to see that our battle is not against flesh and blood. There are powers and principalities at work who are trying to crush our destiny, trying to crush our future. They're trying to tell us who we are not. That if we believe that and we don't believe what God says about us, we are impotent for the kingdom of God. So let's partner with what God is saying about us and get people in our lives who see the call of God on us and pull that out. Get around great men and women who can support, disciple, and love you. The men's groups, the women's groups. Find people who are further in the faith than you. Go to Bible school or get in the Word. What's feeding your mind? Okay? The other thing is spiritual family. We need people. We need support. Just like I was used that analogy of the Roman soldiers. There's a forest in America called the Redwood Forest in California. And what's interesting about the Redwood Forest, it's very big forests, very big trees, but they've got very little roots. And they have these massive storms, and yet they don't take out these trees. And the reason is because these trees are entwined with each other. So when the storm comes, the trees don't move because of the branches and everything of this tree. They're all connected. And that's why we need spiritual family, because we need people. There are days when I need people to pray for me, encourage me, pray for my kids, pray for me, or pray for others. Like we are opposed. There are things that happen in our world, and we were not meant to fight these battles alone. We were meant to have people around us who believe, can encourage, speak the word of the Lord, and stand with us. Yep. So the fourth one is shine, don't whine. Very good. Philippians 2, verses 14 and 15 says, do all things without grumbling and fault finding and complaining, so that you will show yourselves to be blameless and innocent, children of God above reproach in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you are seen as bright lights in the dark world. First of all, smile. Everyone smile. Your face looks so much prettier when you smile. And you know what? It doesn't brighten your face. It brightens the whole room. People gravitate to the one who's smiling. The one who, you know, I know if someone looks a bit scary, a bit scowly on their face, oh, I'll go over here, thank you. I'll go to the friendly one. Yeah. And also laugh. You know, laughter is medicine for the soul. And, as we, you know, God wants us to have fun. Have a laugh, you know. Yeah, be fun to be with. In a world of grumpiness and stress, a friendly face is refreshing and creates a bridge connecting us to the hearts of others. So it's one thing we can do wherever we go is just smile, show up, release kindness and light where you go. It is so hard not to fall into the complaining trap. Have you ever been around someone who's just... And it's just, you start to get, you get caught up in the, oh yeah, and you want to kind of bitch around, bitch along with them as well. Am I right? Yeah, yeah, I agree. Oh, you get sucked into that negative. You get sucked into that second heaven. Can you see it? Yeah. Do you know what the solution is? The opposite, thankfulness. Notice what you have rather than what you don't. Notice the beauty around you. Savor that latte. And choose to see the good, you know. And it's actually a habit, because I think we're tuned to the negative. It's just, you know, it's easy to see the glass half empty rather than the glass half full. Like it's the world that we live in. And so the way we have to counter that is with the opposite. And so I sit with my kids and they're sometimes, oh, Mom. But I'm like, let's just write down 5 things we're thankful for today. Yeah. You know, let's just take a moment to notice the beauty around us, to lift up our eyes and to enjoy God's creation, to enjoy what we do have. You know, I just remind myself of, I come from Africa, you know, and we're such a first world country. There's so much privileges and blessings that we enjoy. You know, people live in tin shacks. They don't have much. Some have to walk miles with a bucket on their head to carry water. Right. Like, there is a lot... there is a lot that we have. And when we compare ourselves to that, we can actually be very grateful. Mm-hmm. But having said that, what I noticed when we visited some townships with our kids in 2010, we went back to South Africa, and people who didn't have a lot were actually happy. Mm-hmm. They were in the squatter camps. They were living in little, literally tin sheets of shacks. And they had a little, you know, barber shop, and it was very cool. And... yeah, but there was such a community, and they didn't have much, but they were happy. They had an old, the kids had bare feet, old leather ball, kicking that in the streets. Wasn't even a proper, it was like half flat, worn leather ball. But they didn't need it. They were just, they actually valued people and community rather than things. And it was such a sobering reality, because sometimes we think if we have more, it'll make us happy. But it actually, that's not the truth. And I see more mental illness and unhappiness living on the Gold Coast, where there's a lot of wealth, than I actually did in a township in Africa. Amazing. And it's all about perspective. Okay, so we don't have to be perfect to shine. For some reason, as Christians, there's that perception that we have to be perfect. We have to have it all together. And sometimes when we realize we're not perfect, there's a lot of shame that people go, you know, I'm actually really struggling in my marriage. I'm really struggling in my parenting. I keep yelling at my kids. Like we're not. We have our struggles, but there's answers. There's hope. But we need to be people who can go, I need God. If we were perfect, we wouldn't need God. And so it's okay to go, but that's where we need a community that we can be real, we can be honest, we can show up, and we go, can you please pray for me? Or, you know, can you please, you know, the older women, I mean, to teach the younger women, and the older men, the younger men, like, we're supposed to be in this together, helping one another to do life well. Okay, number 5, nearly there. Live above the atmosphere around you by releasing the opposite. So we don't get sucked into the negatives around us, gossip, anger, fear, and jealousy. The Bible talks about coming in the opposite spirit. We pray for our enemies. Bless those who persecute us. Forgive those who despitefully use us. There's a quote by Dr. Martin Luther King, and he says, "Darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that." And so when fear comes knocking, when things make us feel those negative emotions, we can actually pray and we can say, "Fear, I don't." And you know, if you're in a group, you can just pray it under your breath. "Fear, I don't partner with you. I send you back. And I ask you, God, to come and release your peace. Bring your perspective. I have faith in who you are and what you can do in this situation." And that is spiritual warfare right there. When the second heaven is wanting to bombard us and make us want to submit to those negative emotions. But we don't have to partner with that. We can say, "Rejection, I see you." Some of us have had rejection growing up. And so it's just, we're so used to those feelings of feeling rejected, that nobody likes us in a situation. But when we feel those feelings that nobody likes us and we're not fitting in and we don't belong, we can actually go, "Rejection, I see you. I do not partner with you. God, I thank you that you accept me, that you love me. And I ask you to just come and release your peace and your hope and your joy in me right now." And that means we're partnering with who God says, that says, and what he says about us, not with how we're feeling and what's happening in the earthly realm. There's a church in America in Redding, California, and they felt like there was a poverty spirit over their city. And what they started doing was releasing generosity. It was one of the poorest cities in the whole of in America, and they prayed and they said, "God, how do you want us to release your purposes?" And so they started tipping over 20%. Started just being generous. They started sowing into the city council. So they started tithing money, saying, we want no strings attached, not asking for anything. We just want to give. They asked God, "What do you want us to do?" And God showed them some things, but they actually have shifted that. There is amazing growth and prosperity happening in that city now. And it's God did it by shifting the atmosphere, by releasing the opposite. Number 6, have a vision that includes investing in the lives of others. You know, in the Color Sisterhood, Bobby Houston says, "Be the change you want to see in the world." We see injustice. We see things. We can be the change. There is something in our hand that we can do. We might not be able to do everything, but we can do something. Yes. Ask God where to give of your time, your treasures, and your talents. There are some in your sphere of influence that only you can reach. We can build bridges to connect with people, we can meet local needs, and we can partner with missions organizations around the world. We can do something. Practice hospitality. Have people over. Do have social, you know, welcome people. Have events where we're connecting, not just with Christians, but other people as well, where we can just have fun and love on people and encourage people and build community, because that's what the world is desperate for. And, you know, invite people, meet someone, take someone out for lunch. If people are struggling, ask if you can pray for them. Then you're partnering with the supernatural to come into that place. People are sick. Can I pray that God would heal you? Just start somewhere. Practice random acts of kindness. Just do something. There was in America, I saw this thing recently where the one lady paid for the person behind her in a drive-through coffee, and then that person ended up paying for the person behind them, and it actually went on for about 2 hours. You know, and it was just, and you know, or paying for the groceries of the person behind you, or you know, just little things, but how it's just kindness, and it just counters the stinginess and the grumpiness that in the world around us. Through relationship and being trustworthy, you create a bridge for people to trust you and with their story and their struggles. And the last thing I wanted to say on that is speak up on current issues. Good. You are needed in we are needed. This world is full of hopelessness, despairing, desperately lonely and unhappy people chasing after things to relieve their pain and meet their needs. And with God, we have answers. Dr. Seuss asked, "Why fit in when you were born to stand out?" We need more people in law. We need more people in medicine. We need more people to in our judiciary system. There are some judges who are making really poor calls on issues of justice, on child abuse and letting people go who shouldn't be released. There are things happening in our politics and in the world around us that we actually have answers for. You see, we have access to a God who created the universe. He says he gives us the mind of Christ. We have wisdom that is outside of earthly wisdom. There are third world problems that God is sending people who he's giving them strategy how to meet those needs. In your engineering, there's problems in the world that God wants to equip you to solve. And he wants to give you strategy and to make a difference. And so we need people in teaching because there's an ideology that is coming in through the schools that is teaching a worldview that opposes God. And so we need people in every realm of authority because it says where the righteous prosper, the city rejoices. And so if I can encourage you today to rise up and say, God, what are you calling me to? And step out in faith that God is placing you in positions. He wants to put you in positions of leadership where you're going to influence the world around you and shine God's light and bring God's truth and bring solution and answers to the world. I often wonder what Jesus must have been like to attract the multitudes. The children ran to him and he was kind and compassionate. He lived a supernatural lifestyle, healing people, raising the dead, speaking words of knowledge and prophecy. His authority calmed storms. He spoke truth. He challenged the culture. But he also had good boundaries, knowing when to rest and escape the demands of people to spend time with his heavenly Father. He was honest with his disciples, vulnerable, and he poured his life out for others. He was led by the Spirit and chose to do the will of the Father, changing history and eternity. And the Bible says, greater works than these will we do. Matthew 5:16 says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your moral excellence and your praiseworthy, noble, and good deeds, and recognize and honor and praise and glorify your Father who is in heaven. And I just want to close on this quote that Nelson Mandela gave in one of his speeches. Our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. We ask ourselves, who am I to be brilliant, gorgeous, talented, fabulous? Actually, who are you not to be? You are a child of God. Your playing small does not serve the world. There is nothing enlightened about shrinking so that other people won't feel insecure about around you. We are all meant to shine as children do. We were born to make manifest the glory of God that is within us. It is not just in some of us, it's in everyone. And as we let our own light shine, we unconsciously give other people permission to do the same. As we are liberated from our own fear, our presence automatically liberates others. I just want to pray a blessing over you as we close, and then I'm going to invite Pastor Ken, and then if Rasheen can come and just play. I would love to have a time of ministry afterwards if something spoke to you and you or that you've just been struggling with stuff. Let's pray because God has got freedom and healing and wholeness for every single person in this room, and God wants you to be released into the call and purposes that he has for you. And there are chains that sometimes hold us back, but there is healing and breakthrough. So if you want prayer and support, then come, you're welcome to come down to the front. So if you can just close your eyes as I just pray this prayer over you. To everyone in this room, I call your spirit to attention. Listen to the blessing of the Lord. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. I bless you in the name of the Father of our spirits, as he is called in Hebrews 12:9. We have all had human fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of our spirits and live? Listen to the word of God for you. The Lord who stretches out the heavens, who lays the foundation of the earth, and who forms the spirit of man within him. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from your heart, from you, your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. Ezekiel 36:26. I bless you with the understanding that your Creator, your Heavenly Father, created and formed your spirit. I bless you with realizing that the very essence of who you are was placed deep within your spirit before the foundation of the earth were laid. Within your spirit, you carry the DNA of your Heavenly Father. And I bless you with a lifetime and lifestyle of discovering the very character and nature of your Father and Christ in you, the hope of glory. In discovering who God is, you uncover and awaken your spirit to who you are in Him. I bless you with the good gift of God of an undivided heart, right desires, and a new spirit. I bless you with repentance from rebellion and offenses, and I bless you with singleness and tenderness of heart to obey God as one who is truly His. I bless you with being able to differentiate between your soul and your spirit. I bless you with distinguishing yourself from those of this world because of the excellent spirit, knowledge, and understanding your Father has placed within you. I bless you with knowing that it is the spirit of inner man, the breath of the Almighty, that gives you understanding. And I bless you with wholeheartedness and loyalty to your Father in your spirit that is different from than it is in others, so that all His good promises or blessings can be yours and you will have a rich, full spiritual inheritance. And I bless you with renewal of your spirit in the Lord. I bless you with being an example to the others in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. I bless you with a promise from your Lord Jesus that He gives you the words Father God gave Him. I bless you with knowing that you are filled with His words and your spirit within you compels you to release them with great joy and expectation. I bless you with realizing your need for God, for He promises that the kingdom of heaven will be given to you. I bless you with being steadfast and fixed upon God. I bless you with the presence of the Holy Spirit who restores to you the joy of your salvation and makes you willing to live consistently in obedience to Him and in harmony with Him. And I bless you with commitment to guard your spirit to keep godly covenants with family members. I bless you with a spirit in whom there is no deceit. I bless you with a spirit that is totally committed to the God of truth. I bless you with the inner, unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. I bless you with a spirit that yearns for God in the night and longs for Him in the morning. I bless you with becoming strong in spirit, filled with wisdom and the grace of God. I bless you all in the name of the Father of your spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You know, I just want to share something that really struck me as Candace was speaking to us. This was really a powerful word. We've heard it before, but this is really a foundational word for many people, and it's such a good word because we need to hear it over and over again, because many of us struggle and are challenged by some of the things she talked about, even though you may be a mature Christian. You may be a new Christian. But this is such a pivotal, foundational word. I think we need to really marinate in it, and I encourage you to listen to the podcast again. But something she said that the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart, Candace, as you were speaking, is that a lot of people here, I feel like, unbeknownst to you, you have unconsciously partnered with that second realm. The realm that, where there's principalities and powers, there's voices that are putting you down, that are saying, you can't do it, what's the use, you're no good, you're a failure, or you don't know enough to really be a light, you don't know enough to really be a bold witness, and just keep your light down, don't shine. And when we give into that, or when we listen to those voices, it really frustrates the very anointing that God wants to release in your life. And so I want to pray for that specific thing. You've been partnering with those principalities. You've been partnering with those voices that are not really from God. They're from the enemy trying to frustrate and squelch and keep you under wraps. So I want you to just bow your heads for a moment. If you feel like you have unconsciously been partnering with that realm, those voices that the enemy and the devil has been speaking to you, and you want to fall out of agreement with that, I just want you to raise your hand and say, that's me. I've allowed those voices to come into my head. I've allowed them to, Who else? Yes. Who else? There's a few more that need you to get your hand up. Yes. Yeah. Right now, just I'm going to ask Candace to pray for us to fall out of agreement with that partnership. Whatever the voice has been whispering, you just say, I don't agree with you. I know who you are, and I don't agree. I sever this agreement right now. So, Candace, would you pray for that?
Just want you to take a moment, and I want you to say, and you can just repeat after me, Jesus, can you show me what lies I'm partnering with? Now, whatever God is showing you, I want you to say, whether it's fear, rejection, insecurities, you know what God's shown you. I want you to say the name and say, if it's fear, say, I do not partner with you. I send you back. And then we're going to invite God to come and release the opposite. Okay? So just say, Jesus, can you come and send your Holy Spirit to release the opposite? And just, if you know what that is, if it's rejection, that he would release his approval of you, that he would show you his identity. If it's hopelessness, that he would give you, that he would release hope in your spirit. If it's depression, that he would, you don't need to partner with depression anymore. You can send depression back, and God would come and lift and bring his spirit of life and light. And so I'm just going to pray. Thank you, Lord, for everyone in this room. And Lord, it's liberating to know that some of what we struggle with is just because we're in wrong agreement. And Lord, I just pray for healing for the deep wounds that have come into people's lives, and where the enemy has lied to people. I just pray that you would release your truth in Jesus' name. We know that your word says it is that you desire freedom, and it's truth that brings freedom. And so, Lord, I just ask that you would tell people the truth, that you would open their ears to hear the truth. I want you to say, Jesus, what is the lie that I'm believing about myself? And now I want you to say, Jesus, what is the truth? And then I want, if you can say, Jesus, what do you want me to know? How do you see me? Write down what he shows you. God wants to talk to you. He wants to heal those broken places. He wants to reveal the lies that you've been believing about yourself and about who he is, and he wants to bring truth. And you can just pray when you go home tonight. Just say, God, can you reveal the lies I've been believing about you? Lies I've been believing about myself. Can you tell me what's the truth? I want to know the truth, because it's the truth that sets us free. Yeah.
Father, we thank you right now. We seal this word over every heart. Thank you, Father, that you're setting us free. I thank you, God, that you want us to be light in the midst of darkness. You want us to be difference makers. So, Father, I thank you for this word. Let it settle. Let it just stay in our heart. Let us meditate on it as we go about our various ways this week. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your liberation and for your power in the name of Jesus. And all God's people said amen. Amen. Can we give Candace a great hand clap, please? Well done, Candace. Wow, that was great. Pete, that was great, brother. Tell you what, I've got to give him a little bit of credit because it is his wife after all. But we're going to get Dr. Peter Schmidt here. He's a great speaker in his own right. But that was so good, wasn't it? Just real. I felt like I just had a great steak dinner with all the veggies and everything. I just feel so full and so satisfied. So thank you, Candace. That was great. Listen, some of you are here. You say, look, I really want to speak with Candace. Afterwards, just come by. If you'd like for her to pray for you, talk to you, she'd be willing to do that, I'm sure. And we're so glad you're here. Let me tell you what, God has called you to be a lamp in a city set upon a hill. How many would like to make a difference in the world? How many would like to make a difference in the world? If you want to make a difference, you're going to have to be different. Amen. And that's really what I heard out of what Candace was saying. So I just encourage you today, let's be different and we'll make a difference. Let's let our light shine and we'll illumine others around us. It's been a great day. We're going to have baptisms, right around 12:30. So we're going to fellowship here. We have refreshments and coffee and lovely things to eat and drink. So please stay in fellowship. If you need prayer, please come talk to us down here. If you're looking for a connect group, if you'd like to have a midweek connect group, talk to Renee and Lynn over here. Raise your hand. They can put you in a connect group so close to you, wherever you live, and that way you can fellowship and be a part of that. If you have any other needs, we're here to serve you and help you. Thank you so much for coming. Let's stand up together and we'll be dismissed. Father, thank you so much for this word. I pray you'd bless every person here today. Bless our families, Lord. Bless the baptisms in about 30 minutes as people make their way over there. And Lord, we give you praise and glory for what you're going to do the remainder of this week. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Have a great afternoon. We'll see you in baptisms in about 30 minutes over the UQ pool.
Hope you've enjoyed today's message brought to you by Every Nation Brisbane. Thank you for listening. God bless.